Today is Chamisha Asar B'Shvat, the 15th day of the month of Shvat. This is considered to be a Yom Tov, a holiday. And it's a holiday in the sense that in our davening, where we would ordinarily say Tachanun, the prayers asking for forgiveness from our sins, we don't recite those prayers on days that are considered to be holidays. So why is today a holiday? What is the holiday of the 15th of Shvat? And we find that the Mishnah, in the beginning of the tractate, the section of Mishnah called Rosh Hashanah, says that there are four different Rosh Hashanahs, the four different days during the year that are considered to be called Rosh Hashanah. One of those days is, according to the opinion of Beis Hillel, which is the accepted opinion, is the 15th day of the month of Shvat, which is today, and is considered to be the Rosh Hashanah for Ilanos, for trees. The obvious question is, if it's a Rosh Hashanah, first of all, what does that mean, the Rosh Hashanah for trees? And second, if it's a Rosh Hashanah for trees, what does it have to do with us, humans, and why should we not say Tachanun? Why should we be celebrating this day to the point that we consider it to be a joyous day where our sins are not to be mentioned, they're forgiven just on their own. It's a special day, a special spiritual elevation, just like a Shabbos, just like a Rosh Chodesh, just like a holiday, any other holiday. If the trees have some kind of a holiday going on, what does that have to do with us? So we have to first understand, what is the concept of a tree? What is a tree? And the very first time we come across trees is in the beginning of creation, where Hashem creates the trees. And the Torah tells us that Hashem says that the earth should give forth trees, and the trees should be eitz pri ose pri limineo. It should be a tree that is producing fruit, and the tree is producing fruit according to its species. Rashi explains to us, and this is Rashi who is teaching us the more overt, the more clear and non-midrashic, so to speak, interpretation of the Chumash. So Rashi tells us that Hashem's intention was that the trees should have, the fruit-bearing trees, the bark and the trunk of the tree, the branches of the tree should have the same taste as the fruit that the tree itself is producing. That means the entire tree should be sort of a fruit. Not just the actual fruit, but the tree itself should taste like the fruit. In fact, Rashi tells us, of course, this didn't happen. Hashem was upset at the trees and punished the trees later on. Then we find that there are two trees that Hashem specifically placed in Gan Eden, in paradise, with Adam and Chava. The Torah tells us that Hashem allowed Adam and Eve to eat from all the trees, except for the two trees that he placed in the middle of the garden. That was the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge, between the ability to discern, differentiate between good and evil. So the tree of differentiating between good and evil, that they couldn't eat from, and the tree of life, Eitz HaChayim, that they couldn't eat from. So this is where we come across trees. Later on in the Chumash, there is a mitzvah that tells us that when the Jewish army is laying siege against a certain city they want to conquer, and there is a need to build a siege wall out of lumber, out of wood, you shouldn't cut down trees that are fruit-bearing for that purpose, to build this wall, of this wooden siege wall. Rather, you should cut down trees that don't give fruit. As a matter of fact, from here we also learn the concept that you can't use anything for a lower purpose than what it could be used for. So if it could be used for a higher purpose, don't use it for a lower purpose. It could be used for giving forth fruit, don't use it just for its lumber, just for its wood. In fact, the Torah goes on to say, ki ha'adam eitz ha'sada, is a tree, a human being, lavo mipanecha b'matzor, that it should be involved, it should get involved in your war. You want to fight a war, what's it the tree's fault? Why does the tree have to get involved? So the Torah says this in a sort of a question mark way, you know, is a tree a human being? Why should the tree get involved in your war? But we read this in a way of a statement, ki ha'adam eitz ha'sada. The fact the Torah does say those exact words, the Torah is human beings are like trees. So that we have dual messages here in this sentence that we're going to read later on in the book of Devarim, the end of the book of Devarim. And the Torah tells us, number one, you have to be your most fruitful possible. And number two, you should not, you should understand that you are like a tree. In general, you have to be fruitful like a tree, and you should not use things except for their highest possible purpose. And number two, as humans, we need to mimic the trees. So in that case, we got to go back to the beginning of the Chumash and figure out what is this tree? What is a tree if we human beings are like trees? And this holiday is called the Rosh Hashanah Le'ilanot, or Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, in the language of the Mishnah. The Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of giving new energy for trees. And in fact, the reason is because in Israel, the almond tree, which is the first blossoming tree to bloom, to blossom, give forth flowers, which later turn into fruit in Israel, is this tree, the almond tree. And that happens now on the 15th of Shvat. So if this is the beginning of new energies, the beginning of new blossoming, the beginning of new flowers, which later turn into fruit for trees, and we humans are compared to trees, then we have to understand exactly what it is that the trees are doing and that we need to be doing to mimic them, and that, in fact, why this is, therefore then becomes a holiday for us, why this is such a joyous day for us, that we, in fact, don't say Tachnun, that we don't say the prayers asking for forgiveness. The third Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, writes that the two trees that were in the Garden of Eden, Gan Eden, the tree, the Eitz HaChayim, this is the Torah. This is related to the study of Torah. Eitz HaChayim, the tree of life, is Torah, because Torah is called the tree of life. Torah gives us life. Tzemach Tzedek explains further that there are trees that give forth fruit and trees that don't give forth fruit. A tree that gives forth fruit is considered to be a tree that is on the side of Kedusha, on the side of holiness. A tree that does not give forth fruit, just ordinary trees that just produce trees, they're just trees, are on the side of Klipa. They are on the side of the negativity, the side of cover-up of Hashem's energy. And in fact, it says that when Mashiach comes, Ilanei Srak, even she's trees that are today not fruit-bearing, just plain trees, they don't give forth any fruit, they will give forth fruit. You're going to see the peros. You're going to see the fruit. They will have fruit. Every tree is going to have fruit. There is a big deal, therefore, going on with trees that give forth fruit. That's Kedusha. That's holiness. Trees that don't give forth fruit, that's Klipa. That's a cover-up of Hashem's holiness, of Hashem's energies. When the fruit actually is there, then the fruit shows and exactly the type of fruit and ultimate holiness is, the way Hashem originally wanted it, is that the tree itself should have the same flavor as the fruit. That's the ultimate, which of course didn't happen. That would have been Mashiach coming right away. That's the time of Mashiach. The time of Mashiach comes, not only will the non-fruit-bearing trees give fruit, but the fruit-bearing trees, the trunk and the branches, the wood of the tree will taste just like the fruit. So now we begin to see what the plan is, what Hashem's plan is. So now we have to discover, we have to figure out why is it so important? What's the big deal of fruit coming out of a tree, that this is a sign of Mashiach coming? This is a sign of Hashem's plan being fully developed, being developed according to the way Hashem really wants. And when the lack of fruit, when there's no fruit, then this is a sign of klipa, a sign of cover-up. So the word tree, ilan, in Hebrew is a ilan, is a tree. The gematria of Ilan is Aleph Yud Lamed Nun is 91. The gematria of the two names of Hashem put together, Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, two names of Hashem, is also 91, the same. Aleph Dalet Adnai, Hashem Adnai, is the concept of Hashem's energy flowing through from the worlds of concealment to the worlds of being revealed. Ilan is therefore the revelation of Hashem's energy. Ilan is Hashem Adnai, the Hashem Yudkei Vavkei, which is the energy of creation. And it comes down into Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, which is the name that Hashem uses as the master of the world. That means that there's a world. If there's a master, it means there's a world. When Hashem uses the name Yud Kei Vav Kei, Yud Hei and Vav Hei, that name is the creator. That is Hashem above the world. That is Hashem's energies that are completely unlimited, completely infinite, before and greater than the world, greater than the limitation of being placed into creation, into a specific plan. That's the name of past, present, and future altogether. That's the name of the infinity of Hashem. That's the name of the creation of Hashem. But when we call Hashem Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, Adnai, that is the name, which literally means a master, a lord, a master. That is, of course, a name that refers to Hashem in creation. Hashem giving a limited amount of creation. Hashem actually making things. So Hashem, Adnai together, when Hashem and Adnai come together, in the language of the Kabbalah, it's called the Shiluv, the coming together of the energies of the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei and the energy of Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. When those energies come together, in our layman's terms, we would say, this is God being revealed. This is God becoming apparent. This is Hashem becoming aware, us becoming aware that Hashem was always there. And therefore, an Elon, a tree giving forth fruit, is a simcha. It's a joy. Because as long as there's a cover-up of Hashem's energies, there is sadness. You don't see the plan. You don't understand what's happening. And all you see is the negativity of the world. And the world itself is a very difficult place. The world itself is a place. Things happen, and we are very upset at the way things happen. Even if you're living the best life possible, everybody still has their own little package of tzaris that they're carrying around. Even the happiest person still has tzaris, still has things that could be better. And in fact, when Mashiach comes, they will become better. The shiluv, the combination, the revelation of the energies of Yud Kei Vav Kei in Adnai, which is the gematria of Ilan of tree, means that those energies become revealed. That is Mashiach coming. And in fact, that is the greatest simcha possible, the greatest joy possible, is to have Hashem's energies revealed in the coming of Mashiach. That's what we're davening for every day, all day long. So therefore, on the 15th of Shvat, when the trees, the Ilan, begin to blossom, what does it mean, a tree blossoming? It means that a minute before you couldn't tell if it was a day before you couldn't tell if it was a non-fruit-bearing tree or if it's a fruit-bearing tree. You can take a look at the tree, you don't know. Once the tree starts to give forth blossoms and flowers, immediately you can tell that this tree of this kind of flower is going to be this kind of fruit. The leaves will look a specific way, and the flower is a specific flower. It becomes apparent, it's the beginning of the blossoming of the fruit coming, which, as we just explained, the fruit coming out of a tree means that the energy of Hashem that was previously concealed now becomes revealed. And the plan of Hashem in creation initially that was not fulfilled even by the trees themselves does become fulfilled. And ultimately, this is when all of the negativity is completely done away with. This is the greatest simcha possible, the greatest joy possible. So now we've explained what's so special about the 15th of Shvat. What's so special about the 15th of Shvat? The idea that the fruit are coming out, the blossoming, the beginning of the blossoming of the fruit, which is the symbolization and the enunciation and the realization of Hashem's actual energies coming down and being revealed to us and to the entire world. This is on the tree side. Now, what does that have to do with us? It says, Ki ha'adam eitz ha'sadeh, that humans are compared to trees. Why? How are humans compared to trees? And the answer is very simple. Hashem gives us, puts our neshama into the world. Hashem puts our neshama into the world, which seems to be all kinds of an aimless wandering. We're not sure. And we appear to be non-fruit-bearing trees, just like dry sticks of lumber. But then Hashem gives us mitzvahs. And the mitzvahs that Hashem gives us are mechanisms, are ways for us to turn into fruit-bearing trees, into mitzvahs, into individuals who are actually producing the fruit that Hashem wants. We're actually producing the product that Hashem is asking us to produce. That's our fruit. So when we do a mitzvah, we are compared to the trees that are giving forth their fruit. And in fact, there is a beautiful medrash, and the medrash says that there was once a king who had various trees in his orchards, And he needed to hire workers to, he had workers, obviously the king, who to take care of his trees. So he told his workers, I'm going to pay you all very well for your day's work or for your week's work. And I want you to go take care of my trees. But I'm not going to tell you how much you're going to get until you finish the work, until you finish the job. Don't worry, I'll pay you well. At the end of the time, they finished tending the trees. The king asked each worker, what tree did you take care of? Which plot of which grove, which section of trees? The workers that took care of the pepper trees, the more expensive trees, or whatever the trees were more expensive, they got more money. The workers that took care of trees that produce fruit that is less expensive, they got less money. They got paid less. So the Medrash says that the workers asked the king, why didn't you tell us ahead of time which trees are more expensive? We would have focused on those trees so we could get paid more. So the king said, if I would have done that, how would I get all my trees taken care of? Well, how would I make that happen? It's not about you getting the money. You're getting paid for your day's work much more than a regular worker would get paid. But if you want to get extra, then that has to do with my needs. That has to do with how valuable it is to me. So Medrash says the same thing is true of our mitzvahs. Hashem does not tell us the reward for mitzvahs. He told us the reward for two mitzvahs. One mitzvah that's very difficult to do, that's to honor your parents. And for that, Hashem told us the reward is to live a long life. You can have a long life. And Hashem gave us the reward, also told us in the Torah, the reward for a simple and easy mitzvah, and that's the mitzvah of sending away the mother bird before you take the eggs or the chicks. If the mother bird is on the nest, and it's a bird you find in the wild, not in your backyard, not belonging to you, but a wild bird, you send away the mother bird before you take the chicks or the eggs. Then you get, what do you get? Same thing, long life. So Hashem told us the reward for a very easy to do mitzvah, sending away the mother bird of a bird that doesn't even belong to you. Just send her away, shoo the mother bird away before you take the chicks with it, get long life. Very difficult mitzvah where you to honor your parents, constant demands your parents might make on you, you still have to be honorable and treat them in a certain way. So same reward, long life. So how much more so all the mitzvahs that are in between the spectrum, what their reward is. We don't know what the reward is, but we should do the mitzvahs in a wholehearted way just to serve Hashem. So ultimately, therefore, the holiday of Tu B'Shvat, 15th of Shvat, is a holiday that gives us the little push, little enthusiastic energy to be able to do the mitzvahs in a way that Hashem, on God's terms, not on our terms, to be able to trust in Hashem, that Hashem will pay us back and will give us the reward for our mitzvahs. And in fact, to give us the energy to take a look at the trees that are producing their fruit through thick and thin, season after season, they're standing guard and they're doing their job. And we also need to be doing that. Additionally, besides all this, the tree, of course, has the concept of roots, which we have to know that we have to have strong roots. We have to strengthen our roots. Strengthen our roots means attaching ourselves with Ahavas Hashem, love of Hashem, Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, Emunah, Bitachon, trust in Hashem. This is what it means to have strong roots, to have strong faith in Hashem, strong trust in Hashem. And ultimately, this will then allow us to produce not only trunks, not only branches, but also leaves and fruits, and allow us to see, in fact, the coming of all of these promises when even the non-fruit-bearing trees will become apparent that they are Hashem's creation, and they will therefore also produce lots and lots of fruit.